entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Here on EOTM Radio. As always, I have to thank you for joining us tonight. We have another great show lined up. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. Tonight we welcome R&B diva Monifa Carter, who will discuss her return to music and upcoming reality TV show, Ladies of R&B. Then author Armand Mosley joins us to discuss his book, Rededication, A Story of Sex, Repentance, and Restoration. It depicts his journey to stay celibate until the day he met his wife. As always, I want you to be part of the discussion, so call in with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you doing?
What's up, Steven?
How you doing?
Well, feeling good. How are you?
I'm good. It's definitely been a Monday, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, you sound like it. That's all right. It's over now, so.
How was your weekend?
It was great. I had an amazing weekend. Sorry I missed Lamont's birthday party. I was check stop coming in, so I was low budgeting it this weekend.
Oh, I just said.
How was it?
It was cool. You had a lot of fun.
That's
it was
good.
Definitely fun. We were at the Whiskey Blue, so that was really cool.
Yeah, one of my favorite spots.
Yeah. So I know Chike is on the line. What's going on, Chike?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
I'm doing well. Hey, Ms. Parker. Ms. Parker.
Ms. Parker.
Is she ignoring me?
George has some technical difficulties.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello. I'm sorry. I've been having
some technical
difficulties. Okay. I was about to take it personal.
What's up, Chike?
What's up, Mama? How are you?
I'm good. I was loving the white outfit.
You was loving that?
Love it.
Thank you.
You
killed Thank
it.
You so much.
And Adam, what's going on, Adam?
Good. How are you?
What's going on, sir,
Adam?
Hey, guys. Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Well, and
perfect. Ms. Parker was talking about my white outfit. I attended an all-white in-crowd party, which, of course, the Stephen Knight Show was represented. There should be a couple of interviews out of that coming out, too. Our good buddy, Rashawn Caraway, Mr. Goodwill Hunting, was in attendance. He actually hosted the event. So I had, my first time actually meeting him. And we had a ball. We had a blast. And I got an interview out of him, so you should be seeing that pretty soon.
Okay.
Yep. And managed to go to the movies. Adam, did you go?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. What did you see?
I saw Safety Not Guaranteed, I don't know if you guys have heard about it. It's a smaller release. There's only one or two theaters around here in the Atlanta area that had it showing. And it's an interesting movie. It's about a writer for a magazine and his two interns, and they want to do a piece on this guy who put a posting in the classified saying that he needs a partner to time travel with. He's done it before, bring your own weapon, safety is not guaranteed. So they want to do a piece on him. They want to follow up and see if this guy is really legit, if he's kind of crazy. And so they go along to meet this guy, they track him down. One of the interns is the female lead of the story, and she kind of becomes his partner. He decides to, he can trust her. And it goes along through the story about they get to know each other a little more. They get to see why he wants to travel back in time. And you learn about, of course, the main writer and the other intern, and there's comedy in it. There's some drama, there's some sentimental scenes. And you learn more about the characters as you go along. It was really good. You know, it definitely had good acting, good story. You really want to see if this guy could actually pull it off, if he was really crazy or if he really could do time travel. So, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Really good movie.
Okay.
All right, and that's an independent?
I think it was an independent release because I didn't see a lot. It was Fox Searchlight, which is their independent studio, so yeah.
Okay, cool. Of course, you know, I went big budget, and I went to go see one of Ms. Parker's favorites, Vampires. And I went to go see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. And I have to tell you, first off, I thought that it was going to be garbage. I thought it was going to be trash. Just the whole premise. Our one of our founding fathers, you know, not founding fathers, but one of our, you know, popular presidents, a vampire slayer. It didn't seem like it was going to wash. But can I tell you the writing alone of how they incorporated real history into, you know, their story and they wove it in? It was perfect. I want to see it again. One of the things is they incorporated the Underground Railroad in the battle against vampires. It was really, really interesting. Just the whole premise of how Abraham Lincoln became to be president, they didn't focus too much on that. They just showed his slow incline into politics. But his main mission before he became a politician had been vampires, because he had an early tragedy on in life by the hands of a vampire. So that was his life's mission, and the presidency was secondary. Very interesting. Those of you, the CGI, the graphics, all of it was off the hook.
Nice.
There's a train fight scene. Actually, the best scene is a scene with running wild horses, and they're running through the wild horses fighting. Like, that's the best fight scene I've ever seen. I highly recommend it. Check it out. I'm going to go see it again.
Perfect.
All right. Anything coming up you all look forward to?
There's a couple of movies. Of course, Batman, Spider-Man, you know, the normal.
Mm-hmm. The big release.
Yeah, the big releases. There are a couple of smaller movies. People Like Us, I want to check that out. That actually stars Michelle Pfeiffer, which I love her movies.
Yeah.
She's a good actress. Anything for you, Adam?
I can't think of off the top of my head. Of course, Spider-Man and Batman. I saw a couple previews during my movie. Nothing looked too exciting. There was Lawless, which was like the Shia LaBeouf movie. And that didn't look too interesting. It kind of looked a little cheesy. And that was pretty much it off the top of my head.
I'm going to the movie on Friday. I'm going to see Magic Mike.
Okay, you're supposed to do the review on that one, so you got to go.
Oh, yeah, tell us about
it. Give us a review back.
I definitely will.
Perfect.
Wow.
I think you're a little bit too excited to go see that movie.
Yeah, she's been talking about this for a while.
I haven't been to the movie on an opening night in over 10 years.
You're going to go to that one, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's awesome.
All right. Well, listen, y'all
love
both.
Magic,
thank you. Thank you for your input as always, and we'll talk to you again next week. Okay.
Oh, one more thing. I have to tell the whole entire show. Over the weekend, I got a surprise tweet from Miss Faith Evans, and she told me that the interview is still on. She just needs to work it out, but she's on her way.
Yeah, absolutely. We look forward to that.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
All right. Appreciate you, TK. Adam.
Thank you. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, TK and Adam. See you guys later.
All right.
Hey, Ron. What's up, man?
Yo, what's up, everybody?
How you doing?
I'm doing.
Hey, Ron.
Miss Parker, hey. How's it going?
I'm all right.
That's good.
And
that's
your voice
good.
Won.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. What'd you say? You know, I actually thought it was going to be at least a six-game series, man. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, while you were talking mess about old Boston, this old Boston took those fools to seven games. And they almost lost that.
And they almost lost that, yeah. You're right, almost. But as Brandy said back in 1998,
almost
doesn't count.
It sure don't.
It don't count. An L is an L. But, yeah, man, Bron, buddy, you played like an MVP. He played his off, man.
Oh,
he
yeah.
did the damn thing. So all the haters now can shut up. You know, it's over. He got his ring. And I'm looking for him to at least get maybe two more. I don't think that he's going to reach Kobe and Michael Jordan status as far as with the rings. I don't see it happening. Also, don't be surprised if Dwayne Wade is not back in Miami next year.
Where are you going?
I don't know, but I'm hearing some things, so there might be some like drama going on behind closed doors with Dwayne, because now it's official. That's LeBron's team. It's not not D Wade's team, and like Bron's just there. No, it's LeBron's team now. It's all his. And you know, some guys that are used to it being their team, they might not like that. So you know, he might want to go elsewhere.
Well, he said he knew that when he was coming in that his role was going to change. So
yeah,
I hope it's not true, because
that's what they all say.
Wade is the only reason I actually watch them. So.
True.
And I wasn't as upset as I thought I would be, because the reason I stopped liking LeBron was because he acted last year. He was such a jerk.
Right.
And I saw him in a pregame press conference, and he said it. He said he was really in a bad place. He was unhappy. He was mean and evil. He was. I mean, on the court, he was just acting up. I was like, who does he think he is? So he realized that that's not the person he wanted to be. And he said that he was just so upset because he felt that people were expecting the worst from him, and he was trying to prove everybody else wrong, and he turned into somebody that he didn't even recognize. So after that, you know, that was said and done. I gave him some props, and I gave him some respect for actually admitting to the fact that he turned into a jerk. I'm proud of him for admitting that and seeing that and correcting himself. So congratulations to him, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, dude pretty much put the team on his back. But I have to give a big shout-out to Shane Battier. I mean, he played his butt off in the finals.
Didn't he play his butt off?
Even Mike Miller. Mike stepped up. But I have to give it up big time to little Mario Chalmers. I mean, this dude, people was hating on him. They thought that he should have been traded months ago. He was horrible. Dude stepped up big time in the playoffs. I mean, he reminds me of another point guard back in the 90s for the Bulls, B.J. Armstrong, all-star point guard for the Bulls.
Yeah.
Yes, except B.J.'s better. But which he is.
Did you hear that the OKT is rumored to be trying to get Pat Riley to come coach them?
Wow. They don't need a new coach, man. They need a new point guard. And I am a Russell Westbrook fan. I think dude is talented, but he shoots the ball too much, and he shoots it at crazy times in the game.
Yeah.
He turns the ball over. Yeah.
But Durant is the complete opposite. Durant doesn't do that.
Right.
He needs to be. I think the role needs to be reversed. Durant is a better shooter, but he's not as aggressive as Westbrook.
Exactly.
And I just think that you need to trade places. You know what I mean? He's a talented dude.
Right.
But he is not ashamed to take a shot. He will take a shot knowing he's not going to make a shot. Like
he is not scared. He is not scared. And that's what I actually like Russell Westbrook's personality. I love it. I love that that arrogant cockiness. I love that about him, because that team is not very they're confident, but they don't show it. They're kind of meek and kind of quiet.
I was about to say, that's kind of why I like them, and that's kind of why I like Durant. I like his cool, laid-back attitude.
So do I. Oh, yeah.
Know he's
good,
definitely. But he doesn't have to, you know, I mean, be in your face with it. I kind of like that, but I just wish he was a little bit more aggressive with taking shots because he can make the shots.
Absolutely. But yo, where was Trina's boyfriend at? Where was Trina's boyfriend at? Man, he was sure to be found in the finals. James Harden. You know that that's Trina's boyfriend, right?
The rapper
Trina.
I don't know what happened to him.
He was just not. I mean, dude played horribly. He was really bad, really, really, really bad.
Yeah,
definitely the worst series for him. He did well the previous.
He didn't show up, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But y'all, I'm telling you, Pat Riley is like Phil Jackson. They're not
going
to go.
Pat Riley said he's never coaching again.
I take it back. It wasn't Pat Riley. It's actually Phil Jackson that they're trying to get.
They want to, okay. Let me kind of break it down to y'all.
Okay.
Pat and Phil Jackson, they want to coach teams that are in, how can I say, nice markets, big markets, sunny markets. You know, Phil was in Chicago, then he went to L.A. Pat was with the Lakers, then he went to New York, then he went to Miami. They don't want to go, no offense, to Oklahoma City. It's tumbleweeds and backwoods and farmland. I'm sorry.
Phil said he'll never coach New York.
Okay, right. I mean, which is cool. But I'm telling you, I'm still scratching my head on how Oklahoma City even got a professional team. Scratch my head. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, what next? Will, like, Louisville, Kentucky get a pro team? Omaha, Nebraska, Des Moines, Iowa? Richmond. Hey, Stephen.
Hey.
Richmond.
Hey, we need one.
Coming up, right. Coming on up. Big time.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, come on. I'm not going to say, because there might be some Oklahoma City people listening. I don't want to get no hate mail or anything like that.
Facebook
stuff. But yeah. Anyway, big ups. Miami Heat. Yeah. Good job. And that's it, because I can keep on talking about them all night, and I don't want to do that.
All right, Aaron, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
And I appreciate y'all back. And again, follow me on Facebook, Aaron Cosby, or on Twitter, RonCosby1, and I'm out.
All right, man.
All right.
Ms. Ferguson, what's going on?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
Hey, girl. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I guess I can't complain. As usual, I'm tired, but that's fine. I'm 84. But I actually did something this weekend, so.
Oh, you did?
Tired. Yes, I did.
What did you do?
I went to a couple of bachelorette parties and saw a couple of things that I didn't have any business seeing. So. Friends that are getting married, and so one friend had her bachelorette party on Friday. The other one had hers on Saturday. So.
Okay.
I'm very, very tired. Very.
I know you are. What do you have for us?
Right. Okay, well, I have a couple of sales. Now, let me just go ahead and warn you guys that it's not as good as it normally is, and I think that's because the holiday is about to come up, and all the good sales are going to be coming up next week. So that's my belief, that's my hope, and that's my dream. So that's why, you know, the sales may be a little bit lacking, but then again, they may not be. It just depends on who you are. So I just wanted to tell everybody, going on now through midnight, you can get virtual cash, get $25 of virtual cash for every $50 you spend at the Limited, and you'll be able to redeem your virtual cash July 26th through August 8th. Now, for those who don't know what virtual cash is, basically it's really just like they're giving you money. They're giving you money to spend money. So, like I said, for every $50 you spend, you'll get $25 in virtual cash to spend later. Unfortunately, you won't be able to spend it right then and there, but you can spend it later. And I've actually participated in this quite a few times, and it's great, you know, because especially if you are spending your virtual cash during the time that they're having a sale, it's awesome. So that might be something that you guys want to check into. At the Limited. Victoria's Secret is having a sale, and you can get an extra 20% off of their already reduced prices on their clearance, and that's on clothing and shoes and probably some accessories too. And that ends Wednesday, actually.
Is that online?
That is also online,
right?
It's online because they don't sell any clothing in the stores. Right. You're right, Ms. Barker.
Right. Okay.
So you can only get that extra 20% off online. Okay. Now, this next sale is in stores and online. New York & Company is having what they call the big sale. Now, most times they just reduce everything by up to 70%, but this time they're reducing everything up to 80%. So, and they have a lot of good stuff, a lot of dresses, a lot of slacks. And then the best thing about everything is that because we're just starting summer, like we just started the official summer season, they're getting rid of their spring stuff to put their fall stuff in the store. So, you know, they do that kind of early. So they're trying to get rid of all their spring and summer stuff. So
right.
You can still get some, you can get spring and summer stuff while you're actually in the season. You know, I always preach about shopping off season, but this is one of the times where you can shop on season and you can still get a great deal and you can still wear your clothes this, like next week.
That's definitely good news.
So, right. That's at New York & Company. You can get up to 80% off of the sale items. ASOS.com, they're having a good time sale, and this is for men and women. If you go online to ASOS.com and shop now, you can get up to 50% off of summer items. So that's a really good sale. You know, I'm all for anything that's important that gives you an additional 40% off or more. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'm logging on tonight.
Yeah.
I love that website.
I already did. I already picked a couple things that I like.
Okay.
Steve Madden, this is in stores and online, and this is for men and women. You can get an extra 20% off of your purchase of $100 or more. And you need to use, but if you're shopping online, you need to use code HOT20. So that's HOT20. All right? And last but not least, Michael Kors is having their summer sale. And if you shop now, you can get 30 to 50% off of select items. And, of course, you know, Michael Kors can be kind of expensive, and I will always say that you would probably want to go and get, go looking like TJ Maxx or Marshalls because they always have something Michael Kors. But if they're already reducing their prices, you might actually be able to come up on a good little deal. And that's in the Michael Kors. All right?
And they can find all that on budshopaholic.com.
They surely can.
Bro, hold on real quick. I saw some Gucci stuff in TJ Maxx.
Oh, yeah, you will. You can find Gucci, Prada, Dolce & Gabbana, all kinds of
sleep things. On TJ Maxx, y'all.
No, do not sleep on TJ Maxx. Now, if you're really for those designer deals, you need to shop the runway at TJ Maxx, and those are only in certain stores, if you're in the Atlanta area. Now, you can look them up online if you're not in the Atlanta area, but if you are in the Atlanta area, there's one at Perimeter Mall. There's one in Buckhead, at the Buckhead Loop. There's one at Alcohol Mill. Those are the three most popular ones. I think there are a few more. I want to say there are a few more, but those are the ones that I frequent. So if you want some designer deals at TJ Maxx, from TJ Maxx, they have Gucci, everything, Prada, any type of designer deals. TJ Maxx, go to TJ Maxx and Buckhead Loop, Perimeter Mall, the one at Perimeter Mall, and then the one off of Howell Mill Road. So it's
okay.
So sad that I know that off the top of my head, but I do, so whatever.
It's all good.
Appreciate
all
it.
Good.
Okay, thanks,
appreciate
guys.
You.
All right. Ms. Park, what's going on with entertainment?
Oh, my God. You know, the street's been buzzing about this Love Atlanta, Love Hip Hop show, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Don't think they too bad.
Have you been watching it?
I haven't watched, but I've heard a lot. Don't think they too bad because we're in negotiations. We're talking to people about coming on there on the show. So, but what have you seen?
Oh, okay, well, I'll go ahead and skip that then.
I heard.
But anyway, the buzz.
You know, it's already getting petitions to have the show canceled.
I know, but you know what I mean? I don't think they're going to cancel it because...
No, ratings.
It's a lot of foolishness, but we're watching anyways, you know? So,
yeah,
that's what it is.
It's true.
Let's just move on. But I just say shout out to Mama D. That's my girl.
I heard
Mama
that's...
D.
What's her name, Mom? Little Snappy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
his mama.
Crappy. They said his mom's off the chain.
His mama is off the hook. Shout out to her. That's all I got to say. So this weekend, you know, Olympics is around the corner, I think.
Yeah.
Early August, last week in July, August. And I'm so excited, can't wait. So they have the Olympic trial this weekend and a couple of really close issues. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are aware of the Olympics coming up, so stay tuned.
Yep.
You know, there are going to be a lot of excitement with track and field especially, so keep that in mind. Jada and Will Smith's little girl, what's her name?
Willow.
Yeah, she got a tongue ring. How do you feel about that?
I heard they were asking that because she's 11 years old and she has a tongue ring, and they're asking, is that too young? I think it is too young, but the good thing with a tongue ring is not permanent. You know what I mean? But it is a little.
I understand that, but why 11-year-old need a tongue ring?
Yeah,
she's doing
true.
Too much. She's actually already too fast. They just let her do whatever.
I think
definitely think so as well. I caught some of Kim Kardashian's interview with Oprah, part one. I saw some of part two yesterday.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad. I don't think I really learned anything new.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess it is what it is.
Did you see when she asked about Kanye?
It seemed pretty open. Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that part, and she was pretty honest. But the only thing about Kim is, that's why I really do believe that she is in love with those dudes that she ended up being with. I think she falls in love too quickly. She's, what is it called, when people who are always in love? I think she's one of those people who are always in love. And she talks about it too much. See how Beyonce and Jay was? They never talked about their relationship.
Yeah, that's how I expect.
Tell them it's none of their business. You know, tell them to stay out of it. And don't be giving interviews about it.
Yeah. Quick note. Carla just sent me a message saying that the Huffington Post wrote that Willow's tongue ring was fake.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, thanks to Carla for sending us that information because I was really upset that a 11-year-old had a tongue ring. So.
Yeah. She said she was too.
That's pretty much all I have except for, the Miami Heat taking it all. They're going to be on Oprah next week, actually on Sunday. Her next chapter is going to be, she's going to do a special on the Heat. So I guess stay tuned for that and see what they got to say.
Mm-hmm. I heard that Rodney King, our favorite celebrity blog, one of them anyway, Bossip, they had when the checks are coming in, Rodney King's family can't afford to bury him. They're asking the public for help.
What?
Yeah. So hopefully they'll be able to raise the money. Yeah, they can't afford it. And what's this craze with? Okay, there's a lot of, and Carl made a comment about the Rodney King thing, which is true about all the money that he won. But he said most of the money went to attorneys, and the rest he blew through it. They're looking for help to bury him, so hopefully they'll get what they need. It's kind of sad, though. It's very sad. Also, with the
it is very sad. I guess they're not able to sell that home he was in.
Right. Yeah.
It's fast, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Now this bath salt, people are still doing the bath salt, taking the bath salt, and I guess one of the major things is you want to bite somebody, or you want to. Some woman got arrested for trying to bite a police officer. One man, he showed up at his friend's house and did half his face off. I mean, why would you even take it if you already
know? People will find anything to get high on. Anything.
But if I read all this stuff about the bath salt, would you touch it?
No, but they're already hooked on it. They're already hooked on it. The thing is, you got to remember, once you're an addict and you can't afford your drug of choice, that's you're shooting up heroin. Mm. You can't afford heroin. You're going to go to the next cheapest thing.
Right. Yeah.
People are going to be addicted to all kinds of stuff. I'm not sure how they even come up with this stuff. They even know that gets you high. How? Who tried it the first time?
Right.
I mean, it's just.
I know. Stay away from the bath. So one woman, she attacked her 3-year-old, was beating them up. And then the police came, and then she tried to bite one of the police officers. Stay off of
it. They call it the zombie drugs. I mean, it's like, why would you even, what was the first time you even said, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and try this bath salt?
Right. Anyway,
people just stay off hard drugs.
Right, stay off the hard drugs. Let's take a quick break, though. When we come back, we'll talk to author Armand Moses. Right back.
Hype Magazine, a magazine that gives you all kinds of flavor for your entertainment needs. You can purchase Hype Magazine in all major stores, as well as getting it digitally at www.gethypeonline.com. Get your ad in Hype Magazine now and subscribe by calling 1-301-579-HYPE. That's 1-301-579-HYPE. 4973. This is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Media.
Armand Moses' book, Rededication, A Story of Sex, Repentance, and Restoration, takes us on an all-too-familiar journey that many of us have traveled, beginning with the first time. Armand Moses shares with the reader some of his most intimate moments while providing insight into the vexing reality that faith and sexuality create for a man. As he wrestles with stereotypes, stigmas, and misplaced expectations, Armand eventually comes to a point of decision as a result of God's divine intervention. With somewhat of an ultimatum in hand, he chooses to yield to the Lord and commit to a life of celibacy until marriage. While it would appear that things would get easier from there, in actuality, his journey had really just begun. For the remainder of the book, Armand invites us into his personal journey as a celibate man in his 20s, the sexual prime of his life. Through many discouraging moments along the way, Armand continues to faithfully press through until one day he just about had enough. And in that moment, in most hopeless and vulnerable state, God shines light on him and reveals to him a woman of noble character whose worth is greater, far greater than rubies. Please help me welcome Armand Moses. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's
welcome
going on?
Armand.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Not bad at all. I heard y'all talking about the heat earlier, so, you know, my summer has been made whole since LeBron got his ring.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Lord. We just come on.
Well, tell us about, the journey that led you to writing such a revealing book that documented everything that you had gone through with this.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, just as you read the kind of excerpt or the synopsis, in the midst of going through the journey, you know, I mean, I was a young man out here, you know, trying to do this thing the right way. You know, what I had grown up know was the right way, and it seemed like everywhere I turned, you know, everybody was doing it a different way. You know, and
right.
I struggled to find people outside, inside, around, below the church. You know, I was looking all over people relate to that journey, who I could talk to, who I could just kind of bounce ideas and bounce thoughts off of. And I had a hard time finding people. And so it really began as a kind of therapeutic process, you know, because I was going through something, I was struggling through it, and so I was just kind of writing down some of the different episodes and some of the thoughts and just different decision points I had as I was going through that journey. So that's kind of what, you know, I'm journaling, and I kind of, in the back of my mind, thought of it may become a book, but really at first it was just about just kind of getting some thoughts and feelings out on paper. And then as I kind of got to the back end of that journey, I said, man, you know, I think I got something here, and started to flesh out the different parts of it. And lo and behold, you know, it became a book.
You know, I think this is you know, I was reading the reviews because your wife, who I knew, we used to work together when we were in school, and she was actually on the show last year, Nineka Mosley. I lost my train of thought there. I was reading the reviews on the book, and I mean, you got such a great response to this. Why do you think that people are, you know, are really attracted to this topic or interested in this?
That's a really good question. I think that, you know, my belief is, you know, I'm someone who grew up in the church, you know, so I'm unashamed about that, you know, and I have my own convictions and journey and so on and so forth. And I think a lot of people, especially in the African-American community, you know, kind of grew up with that same background. You know, your parents
right.
were going to Sunday school, Bible study, vacation Bible school, you know, everybody kind of started there. And as we grew and matured, we started to push up against the faith, and some of us went one way, some of us went another. But, you know, most people who kind of had that foundation, in the back of their mind, they've always kind of known, like, yeah, I probably need to chill out, but it's harder to do in practice than in word. And so I think what's happened is that, you know, one, being a man that's kind of owning up to that struggle and owning up to that mm-hmm. journey is something that intrigues, I think, a lot of people. But then additionally, I think the candor in which the book is written with, you know, so it was many points when I was going through the writing process where I would want to, you know, I didn't want to have revisionist history, you know, so
right,
I'm writing a part of the story, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to put that out there. So God really kind of pressed me, like, nah, son, like you got to go ahead and...
I'll put it out there.
Yeah, you got to be open. And I think that's what, when you talk about the reviews, people have connected to that authenticity. Because a lot of times, you know, like most people, when you hear them talk about this, right, they don't give you their story. So they start talking about, yeah, you should be celibate, and all you hear from them is their journey while celibate. But they don't really tell you about how they got to that point, you know, all the stumbles and falls that led to that point, you know, and a lot of times I think it gets kind of glossed over. So I think because I've been honest and been transparent and been authentic, that's what people are really connected with.
Can you tell us about the moment through this process, you know, the journey as you went through it, that when you got hopeless and vulnerable, you're in that state, do you remember that moment when, you know, you knew that the Nineka was the one?
So it's 2 points. So one, kind of, I mean, first of all, you know, the journey's not easy. It was rough, you know, being a dude, you know, and it's not a popular journey. You know, contrary to popular belief, every female that says they want a good man, when they meet a man who's celibate, I think that challenges that ideology. A lot of times, you know, and so what got me to that kind of hopeless or vulnerable state was after, you know, multiple times of meeting attractive women and really being excited about an opportunity to develop something, you know, when the cat comes out the bag and I'm celibate, you know, and just seeing them kind of fade to black on.
And
after that happens a couple of times, you're like, man, like I got here with the okey-doke mission, you know what I'm saying? So I can't, I'm not trying to be a monk. Like I didn't want to be celibate for the rest of my life, you know, and so that's what kind of pushed me in that vulnerable state. And what happened is actually the Nineka was a good friend of mine the entire time. She was a friend of mine since I was an intern at Kraft back in like 2001. So all, you know, our relationship was developing, and by the time I really got serious about this walk with God, me and her were really good friends. And so I remember talking to her one night. I was like, man, you know, the Nineka, I was like, yo, I just don't feel like I'm ever going to find a wife. Like, these chicks are not really trying to, like, they say they're down, but they're not really down with this woman. And I don't know how much longer, you know, I can keep taking these L's. Like, it's just starting to be frustrating. And then she was kind of like, she checked me. She was like, yo, you need to, you know, kind of get off yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you said that's what, you know, you've been pressed. He's spoken to you on in that area of your life. So you need to focus on just obeying him and not worry about the things you can't control. And so when she said it to me, kind of checked me, kind of hurt my ego a little bit. Long story short, you know, I just continued to seek him. And I just kept praying to him, saying, look, God, you know, I'm going to walk this thing out. You know, I'm prayerful that you're going to reveal, you know, the one you have for me at the time you want me to have her. And so as I'm continuing to make that, say that prayer over the next couple of weeks, months, or whatever, you know, lo and behold, he kind of just revealed to me really clearly the things, the traits of my wife. And so as I'm looking and reflecting and thinking about the traits and, you know, the character traits of this woman, you know, I started to think about it and think on it. I'm like, hold up. That sounds like the Nineka. Like, I'm like, nah, I can't, it can't be her. Like, we good friends. Like, that's the homie. Like, nah. And I've done the, you know, try to make the friend your girlfriend before, and that like, so I was like, man, I don't want to mess up your friendship. I'm afraid of what could happen. And she's, you know, she's older. She's 2 years older than me. I always joke with her about that. So I was like, all
right,
you know, she might try to play me or something. You know, I was like, I don't know if I'm willing to put myself out there like that. And I just kept playing on it, man. And for like the next week, I just couldn't get it off my mind. And you know, and I just kept thinking about these traits and what I was looking for in a wife. And she embodied all those characteristics. And so I finally, you know, manned up and you know, brought it to her attention. And thankfully, she was receptive to it.
Wow. That's great. That's really great. So do you think in your journey, did you know anyone else that you were, you know, going through it that was settlement as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. At multiple points, I had friends. So I had, really, I would say it's like two boys, and I talk about them in the book, two of my homeboys that we kind of walked that thing together. You know, and it was funny. Okay. One of them was what I would consider somebody who I looked at as like my spiritual rock. So we kind of made this commitment, all right, let's do it for a year. And, like, maybe 2 months in, he slipped up. And I'm looking like, dude, you know, you're supposed to be my rock. You slipped in, we 2 months in. Like, what's up?
Oh, 2 months in?
Like, we barely off the launching pad, you know what I'm saying?
He said, we'll
like,
try. He's not right.
You know, it's all hurt. I was crushed, man. And,
oh, man.
But that's the realness of it, you know, and I think so he was there, you know, he got back on it, and he pushed through that thing, man, the rest of the time. And then my other boy, he came alongside me, and he walked that walk, too. And so at the time I was doing it, I had, like, at least two people that I could talk to, and we were all struggling in different ways with it. But I had two guys that were really close friends, and our friendships grew even more through that. But then on the other side, a lot of my friends who I had when I was, quote-unquote, you know, doing my thing or just being, like, a regular dude, a lot of them at first, you know, kind of, I don't want to say they distanced themselves intentionally, but because we had different interests and different motivations, they kind of wedged between us. But slowly but surely, you know, every now and then one of them will come back to me and be like, hey, man, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe trying to do the celibacy thing, and I feel like I need to really kind of tighten up in that area of my life. And so it was a blessing, man, just to be able to kind of give them advice, suggestions, tips, whatever. You know, and they weren't raising their hand in the crowd to say they were interested in maybe walking that journey, but they would come back to me kind of in the quiet of the night, so to speak, and just try to pick my brain on it. So there were definitely other people there, you know, through that journey.
Yeah, and I guess that when you have that support, if anything else, you have that support, it makes it maybe a little bit easier than if you were just doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. You said, Ms. Parker, you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree that, you know, support with anything makes it a little easier.
Now, do you think that it's more difficult for men or for women to be celibate? I think most people think it'd be hard for a man, but what do you think, being someone who went through the journey?
I think it's different for both. You know, that sounds political, you know, but and I'll explain why. I think for men, you know, we're really fighting against some strong stereotypes, some strong sexual urges, you know, that we're wired to hunt, you know what I'm saying? Like, biologically, like, that's kind of how we're set up. So we're kind of, it's in our nature to want to pursue and conquer. And so to really put that pause up, it's challenging for us. And then the expectation of society, especially as a black man, you know, we're sexually promiscuous. That's kind of the thing that's projected on us, whether we are or not. So you kind of fall victim to that sometimes, you know, all the stereotypes on TV and just that's out there. And I think for women, I think it's hard because most women feel like there's no man out there who's going to date me if I tell them I'm celibate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and not only that, I think women, a lot of women too, it's an emotional thing. You know what I mean? That's kind of how we feel connected to somebody. So, like you said, I think man is more physical and women is more emotional. So for a woman, it's going to depend on where she is in her mental state, in her emotional state, and for a man, it's going to be more of a physical struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's mental.
Absolutely. So I think it's different. I think it's hard for both.
So going through the journey, writing a book, having it well-received, what was the biggest thing you've learned from that experience?
I think the journey, I think we, you know, everyone who acknowledges God, and, you know, the Christians out there who kind of had their relationship with Christ before, I think for me, I learned that, you know, this, that God did, does still kind of poke and prod at us on different things. And I think just responding to that and really seeking to be obedient, it pays off. You know, I think it's hard in those moments where all seems lost. That's usually when he's doing his best work. So I think for me it became, that was the first time in my life, one of the first moments in my life where I really had to trust him. You know, it's like, all right, so I know what you're telling me to do. Everything around me saying don't do it. But I'm going to trust you, and we'll see how this thing works out, you know. And I try to challenge him, but that was for me. I think the book, you know, if not for anything, I think it just shows that, you know, I'm nobody special.
Right.
You know, so everybody has a story, and I think the thing for me is that if you're able to be authentic and transparent about the things that you go through, there's always someone out there who can benefit from that journey. And so that's been kind of the biggest thing.
Okay. Well, look, and people can purchase the book out on Amazon. Is that correct? Amazon.com?
Yep, you can go on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's available in paperback. It's available for the Nook, Kindle, iPad, you know, everything out there. So.
And it's called Rededication, A Story of Sex, Repentance, and Restoration. What came up with that title? What made you come up with the title?
Well, you know, growing up in the Baptist church, I always remember, you know, when you was in a, when you kind of fell by the wayside with God, the commands of God, you always come back to church for rededication. You know, hey, let me recommit and try it again. And so that was a turning point for me in my relationship with Christ. It was a rededication, and then obviously, what brought me to that point was a story of sex, repentance, and then restoration, which ultimately it concluded with the marriage to my wife.
Right. And y'all have been married, what, 2-3 years now?
Yep, 2.5 years, yeah.
Okay. Well, congratulations to both of you all.
Congratulations on the book and marriage and everything else.
Yep, I will say the book, too. You know, because, like I said, it's getting great reviews. People can identify with it. So much success. And do you have plans on writing another book? Or?
I do. You know, and thanks for those comments. I really appreciate it. I have two books in concept. Just started putting pen to paper on one of them. So hopefully, you know, I'm more of an inspirational writer, so I can't just plan it out. I gotta have to just, when I feel it, I just have to start writing. But
okay.
I got a couple.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, definitely much success to you. And I encourage everyone to pick up a copy of Rededication, A Story of Sex, Repentance, and Restoration. And I'm going to have a great night. Thanks for calling in, okay?
I greatly appreciate you guys.
Have a good night.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Okay. And we'll be right back after this.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch The Countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes, or just want to read and catch up on BET News? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211, or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. We're still waiting on Ms. Monifa to call in. So while we're doing that, Ms. Parker, I want to talk about some of these hot topics that just everyday people think. This woman...
I wanted to mention one thing before we entertainment. Forgot to mention Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Passing 3 years.
3 years
today. Actually, I was with you, remember? It was you and I and Adrian. We were at the Derby. We just came from the gym, and we met her there. And actually, we just came from work and met her there and was going to the gym. And I actually ended up going to the gym after that because I just had to. We were having a couple of happy hour drinks with our old managers and looked up at the TV and we could not believe it.
Cannot believe it.
And Michael Jackson had died and That's crazy. But I can't believe it's been 3 years. Time flies.
Oh, my God. Time does fly. 3 years he passed away. Oh. But, yeah, definitely keeping his family and friends in our prayers on this day because, you know, a lot of times on that actual day, you still get back a lot of that emotion. I know his mom, she says that time is making things better, but she still, there are times she just breaks down crying, you know, that was her baby. So definitely, and to his kids as well. Well, I want to talk about some hot topics. Hopefully, Monifa will call in the next few minutes or so. You all know that she has a reality show she's doing with, let me get it right here. She's doing a reality show. It's called Ladies of R&B, and it's with Felina Johnson, Nikki Gilbert from Brownstone, Kiki Wyatt, and Faith Evans, who will be on an upcoming show. It's slated to air later this year, TV One. She's also working on her fourth studio album, so hopefully she'll call in. We can talk about that. But some hot topics real quick. Woman in Moscow killed her two sons by throwing them off a 15-story balcony and says she was fed up. That's why she did it.
People are just crazy. I don't have anything to say about that. I'm just disgusted. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. What about the lady, the black lady in, where is she, in Washington somewhere, who told everyone she had two kids and she ended up having three kids. Her neighbors who lived there for 8 years didn't even know she had a third child because the third child had been locked in the closet for years. And she was 10 years old and 35 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's horrible.
That's Jesus. Why would you treat one child so horrible? And then she actually, when they finally went up there and broke in the house, her and her other two kids had went to breakfast. She took the other two kids to breakfast. And when they found the other little girl, she said her sisters and her mother went to breakfast, and she never, they never take her because she messes herself.
Yeah, it's sad.
But she actually admitted to never taking the girl out because she felt like somebody would call the police because the child was so underweight.
Feed your child. Take care of it. That's why if you don't want your kids, don't have any, and if you do, you know, if you have them, then give them to someone that can take care of them because, you know, kids should be treated this way because all it does is comes out and then as an adult as well, and then a lot of times it's a generational thing. So, yeah. Here we have
I honestly believe that should be some kind of system to having children.
People say that.
Because a lot
really
of people are
that.
Not fit to have children.
People are saying that. What do you think about the Sandusky situation? You know, he's
he right where he belongs. He right where he belongs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Supposedly he's trying to kill himself and all that.
I'm supposed to watch.
Because for years you abused and ruined people's lives. I believe he did all that stuff. Because why would a coach go to the school, and the school needs to be somehow fined or something, too, because he went to the school and said, this is what I saw, and they tried to sweep it on the table, like, oh, no, you really didn't see that. When I first heard that another coach had saw him, an assistant coach or a volunteer coach, actually saw it with his two eyes years before and reported
and
it, I knew it was true, because a grown man would never lie about something like that.
Yeah, you're not going to lie about that. Yeah. Did you hear about this man? His wife said that she was going to divorce him. And so he cut off the bottom of her lip and one of her arms and said, I'll get 4 years, but do you have a life? He didn't want her to be able to kiss anyone else ever again.
Wow. I didn't hear about that.
Another jealous husband pours gasoline on his wife, setting her on fire. He was jealous of whatever was going on. What's going on with people?
Just nutcases. I'm just beyond myself with these crazy folks.
All right, exactly. Well, looks like Monifa is not calling in tonight. Hopefully we can reschedule for her. We definitely want to talk to her. I know she actually has a really good story, but I'll wait until she comes on to tell
sell it. But anyway.
Okay.
Hold on. Well, we have someone on the line. Let's see if this is her. Hold on just a sec. She's going to check. Go ahead, Ms. Parker,
okay.
In the meantime. How's your week looking?
What was the question that they say? I didn't get a chance to, my new job, I didn't get a chance to read it.
Oh, okay. Let's see the question of the day, yeah. We'll do the question of the day and then take a break. It wasn't her, so she's not on the line. Okay. The question of – she wasn't on the line, so we'll do the question of the day and then
– we'll have to reschedule.
Yeah, we'll reschedule it. But the question of the day is, would you ever be on a reality show? And if yes, which one would you like to be on?
No.
You would be
I'm
on
a reality show.
Yeah,
no.
I couldn't see you doing it. That's not your thing. Todd said he would want to be on Jersey Shore. Dante said he doesn't think he would be on one. Rakira said she probably wouldn't be on one, but she would love to win a chance to get her house done on HGTV.
Something like that. Like the cook. You know, I love
that.
Food Channel. I'll go on there and try to be in a competition cooking or something. Who knows?
Yeah, because you can cook.
But not a reality show as we know it. You know,
Housewives one or anything.
Marcel said foolishness.
Part of her would want to be on one, but she's not talking about act like an animal or acting like that. I guess she just means like, you know, one of like other shows you were saying. Our Denisha said she would never do a reality show unless it was one where she was with Tyrese Gibson and they were getting it in. Okay. Kimberly said probably only some kind of home remodeling show, nothing else. Todd also said there was a Bad Boys Club. He'd be on that show. Joanna said MasterChef for sure. Julia said he could see himself on something like Real World. And Pam said pumped. So thank you for your comments. But anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Interesting.
And when we come back, we'll go to Stephen Pugler. Right back.
You're listening to the Stephen Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Stephen Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Stephen Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Well, now it's time to go on to Stephen's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country who want to be featured during this segment. Each week, we select artists to play on our playlist. Tonight, our playlist features songs by both independent and major artists, including Monifa, who didn't show up, John Legend, and Chris Brown. If you're interested in being featured on Stephen's playlist, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, one or two promotional pictures. And remember, all songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing. And we definitely look forward to hearing from you. Well, the first song is by Monifa. It was her big hit, I Miss You. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
Check it out, everyone.
Yeah, another soul on soul. Yeah, production. Yeah, 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 yeah. I stay soaked in foreign colognes. I keep this. Coogi sweat is hand knit, cause that's that fly shit. I say lace because my body got Versace taste. Rolex on my cuff, flooded with diamonds and stuff. A half a dozen hundred Benz coupe in my driveway. Tried to have it my way, the flyway. Led to a bad day. I should have kept it real when I was with you. Instead, I dissed you. So now I miss you, true.
Things just ain't the same.
talk for months. They dipped and crushed linen. Player from the beginning, cream and women. And I be sinning, that's how I'm living. Ladies in all complexions, connections and ghetto sections. But you'll be that exception, the one I cared about. Wanna know about your whereabouts. And then I dissed you, so now I miss you. True.
Into Steven's playlist because we have Monifa on the line. Let me do my intro for her. R&B diva Monifa grew up in Spanish Harlem in the midst of a musical family who encouraged her to work in several musicals while at an early age. With the experience she gained singing, Monifa signed a contract with MTA and released her self-titled album in 1995. The following year, a single, I Miss You, Come Back Home, became an R&B hit. Her second album, Moves Moments, was released on MTA's Uptown in May 1996. The top 10 single, Touch It, made 1998 Mahogany her biggest
album hit. And 2 years later, she followed with Home. Monifa is currently taping a new reality show starring herself, Faith Evans, Nikki Gilbert, Kiki Wyatt, and Selena Johnson, which is slated to air on TV One later this year. Please help me welcome Miss Monifa Carter. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Who am I speaking with?
The host, Stephen Knight. How you doing?
Stephen Knight. Okay, I just had to make sure I wasn't. I you just jumped right in. I was listening to the bio or whatever. And hi, thank you for having me. Apologies for calling in a little late. I was with production. It's just a roller coaster right now.
I understand.
And
I'm a busy woman.
Yeah.
I'm a busy woman. Yeah.
Well, thank God. You know.
Absolutely. Well, I know your last album came out in 2000, and then a few years later, you did some stage work. What else have you been doing since the last record?
Well, since the last record, life happened. Taking the journey. Learning a lot about me and, you know, becoming my best self. Some struggles and, we have those crosses that we bear, whether they be self-inflicted or not. And we all have crosses. So, you know, just kind of, you know, walking my walk into my best self and learning and loving and being loved. So, that's what I've been doing. Getting these chops together, still, you know, using the gift that God has given me taking it one day at a time.
In preparing for the show, I was going to listen to, music that we all love. I mean, let me tell you, when people heard you were coming on the show, they were like, where has she been? Oh, I love Monifa, you know what I mean? And so, listen to the songs, it brought back all the memories from those days, you know, with each song, you remember where you were when it was out. So, you're working on your fourth studio album, Midnight. Is that still the title of it?
This tentative still. It meant something at that point. It's a definite contender. But, as I continue working and the project evolves, things start to, you know, show themselves. And, you know, that may change. It still has significance, but just don't know if that's going to be the title of the album yet. That's yet to be seen.
When do you expect to have it out?
That is yet to be seen, too, because this is a labor of love. I am an independent artist working independently now. So this is a very different lane for me. Which I'm embracing. It's a lot. I don't want to say. It's way more hands on, and the process is slower because there's not a gang of money my disposal like there is for a lot of, you know, people under major labels or like it was before. So it's different, and there's a lot of pros to that because I get to take my time, and if it's gonna get received, it's gonna get received. I mean, what's for me is for me, and you know, if people are gonna want to hear from me now, hopefully they'll still want to hear from me, and when it's ready, it will be there. I'm not trying to take it'll forever, but I'm not trying to rush it either. You know,
take your time. Mm-hmm. Now I know you said that. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, sweetie.
No, and I know that you said that during the process, you know, the last 12 years or so, you'll get back to you and, you know, getting to your better place. I was listening to another interview you did, and you basically said that once the last album came out and you kind of felt abandoned by the label and whatnot, that's when you start seeing other things from your childhood that you had to deal with. Why do you think it took that point, you know, because things were just so busy, you didn't have time to really deal with that. I know you lost your father and your brother and some other people. You didn't have time to deal with that, but was it when you had
Well, you know,
you had
Bill, well, at the peak of, I was 9 when I lost my dad. I started in this business at 7 years old doing commercials, second grade. So I've been doing this a long time. It didn't start only when I became a recording artist.
Right,
that was my goal. That was my goal, and that was my dream. But I've been doing commercials and theater and stuff from a very young age. I've had 3 national commercials before the age of 12. And I had some, when my dad died, it was the day I did my first commercial. Really serious polarities there. My first now, I did a Jenny Doll, Sassoon Jenny Doll commercial. And, you know, I was 9, you know, and I went through the process, of course, as a 9-year-old could. And,
exactly.
But there was still, you know, you know, your experiences are what they are. They just kind of, you know, your life continues to happen. I lost my brother the day that I received my first video's edit. I Miss You, edit for that video was the day we buried him. It wasn't as if I didn't mourn. Of course, I mourned in my way, but there were so many things, especially with my brother. I was in my career was like taking off. So I didn't mourn that properly. And I probably didn't mourn my dad either. I was 9. You know, and maybe the things just from him, the absence of him, and that sort of thing. Definitely, things like that shape you. So you carry the stuff all the way with you to your adulthood. You know, it's just there. And sometimes it lies dormant. And sometimes, you know, it takes something to, something triggers things. So what happened, I think, and what I found out, actually, is that, when I got dropped from the label, it triggered my abandonment issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Feeling like left. You know,
right.
I felt left by the people closest to me. Didn't realize that that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
What it was. I knew I had a little bit of probably a little anger and a lot of stuff mixed up in there. But when you're just going, you know. And so when other things happen, and then you start you put depression into the mix, maybe because I'm thinking I'm dealing with it. You know, the label doesn't define who Monifa is, and in my mind I'm like. You know, I believe that, but then, you know, when you have other stuff that you haven't dealt with or realize you need to deal with in that capacity, it adds up. It just becomes a smorgasbord of things that create the environment for a lot of things. So.
I know that you had you battled with alcohol and drug related issues, but been clean for a year and a half. Congratulations to you on that, definitely.
Thank you.
What do you think was the? Because one thing that was said about people who do battle with drugs and alcohol, that it has to be about them wanting to be clean, not people around them, but them actually wanting to do it. What was it for you that made you decide this is what I need to do for myself?
My daughter. I remember, losing my dad at 9, and I couldn't even imagine putting her through that by something that I was choosing to do. Because of pain, to numb, to escape. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When all I needed to do was, because that's the symptom, the addictions and those things that we pick up or whatever. We shop too much. We lie. We too much sex. Just frivolous. These are all things that manifest.
Things,
I mean, it's not just drugs. It just happened to be my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I knew that this wasn't the life, that I wasn't living my best life. This wasn't the life that I was created to live. I knew that in my spirit. And then I couldn't imagine me leaving her.
Right, yeah.
Because I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
And, so I would have to say, my daughter first. Maybe me first, but definitely my daughter. I think it was even. I think that was an equal. Because I knew that God didn't create me and put this amazing gift in me.
Mm-hmm.
And, this brain, and not just my voice, but, I'm a smart cookie. I'm tough.
Right.
I'm strong. You know, all of these things that were, I was running from and not honoring. So I made a choice. You know, one day I was tired, and I knew that I wasn't this, in my mess, I knew that I wasn't going to continue, that this was not going to be my life. I just asked God to... please keep me safe until I make that decision, because when I do, I don't want to turn back.
Right.
I don't want to, I'm not, and I don't want to, You know, I made a decision not to, you know, I claimed no relapse. I claimed all of these things.
Wow.
And
yeah.
just as well as, you know, I knew what I was doing when I picked up, I knew what I was doing to heal. I knew
wow.
what I was going to do to heal.
Yeah. Well, like I said, again, congratulations on the year
you.
And a half. I mean, that's great. That's really great for you. So,
thank you.
So after everything that's kind of gone on in the last 12 years or so, what make you want to step back into the world of music?
I have, I think that it's probably a little bit of both feeling. I feel like I have to share
mm-hmm.
what God has done for my life and how. And I still got so much song in me. And if that's
yeah.
gonna happen anyway, whether I
right.
sell another record
right.
or not.
Uh-huh.
Let's make that very clear. It's not
yeah.
based on me making music for the masses, because I sing regardless. I was singing through, you know, everything. I've always
Ooh.
I always have. Okay.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You know, it but yes, do I feel like I have something to say? Yeah, I do. I don't feel I'm done. And,
right.
you know,
yep.
I was told I wasn't done, and I'm being
yep.
obedient, and I'm walking in that at the risk of whatever, because he got
yeah.
me.
Yep, yep. I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. Well, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the ladies of R&B. It's a new reality
right.
show. It's going to be on TV1. And
yes.
So how did you get a post about doing this project? What made you interested in doing it? You know, talk about that.
Well, most of the ladies, mostly all of them, I have known for a very long time.
Okay.
Very long time in this business is, you know, at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and Nikki, a little longer than 10 years. Selena, 7. And I actually just, you know, am getting acquainted with Kiki. I had just, prior to us getting together to do the show, had just become acquainted with her. And so she's the only one that who's, that connection and rapport is new.
Okay.
But Nikki and I have worked together, and I've been working with Nikki for a while, and we're really good friends. And Faith and I have known each other coming up, you know, me on Uptown, her on Bad Boy.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote
mm-hmm.
my remix record, you know, to you. And,
okay.
You know, so, I mean, we have, you know, we came up in the same trenches. They, you know, both our mentors and label heads, you know, Heavy D, respectfully, and Sean, you know, and Diddy, both came up under the Andre Harrell era.
Right.
So
yeah.
we were all in the same kind of camp, you know. We were all at Kelly's Price's Grammy party, and
oh, you were there.
Performed. Yes, I was there. So
okay.
it was Nikki
yeah.
and
yeah.
And we were all there the last time, you know, we heard
Whitney's
voice.
Yeah.
And
well,
can I
ask you about that real quick? So because I know that
yeah.
What were your thoughts when you found out that Whitney Houston had passed away?
I was angry.
Mm.
I was like I am because of the what I believe and how I believe,
mm-hmm.
I knew that the lesson was for us and that she was
right.
Yeah. I was angry by the way, because that story and
yeah.
everybody else's story, there's really no difference. If you notice, there's no difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about who
yeah.
who does live, who makes it through and who doesn't. And for what reasons? By grace. And but as far as, you know, how people are treated like commodities and things like addiction
mm-hmm.
and depression are ignored by the people around you making money off of you is very infuriating. And it needs to, something has to give. Because we take, and we don't put anything back into these musicians and greats. That do, you know, art is something that you give of yourself.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
We're not machines. No one is. And
exactly. Yeah.
And I think people that enjoy our music and anyone, and anybody's art or in anybody's art form, we have
mm-hmm.
to remember we're human and we have to be we have to learn, you know, sometimes we don't do it for ourselves. It's a double-edged sword. But when you see, when you're privy to some things and you see where people actually turn a blind eye, and not that you are allowing, because the bottom line, the person is responsible, you know, for, but when you perpetuate because of greed or those kind, you are just as responsible.
Yeah.
And so that angered me immediately.
I know that there's been a lot of, you know, especially since she's passed, there's been a lot of blame as the people around her, you know, like you're saying, being yes people and kind of just, she was the cash cow, you know, so we do what she said.
Yeah.
And
that's down to your family. I mean, you know, to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, when you are the source of someone's well-being and lifestyle and it's even if they love you, I would imagine not for me, because I don't think that I don't even think I have it in me. I don't have a yes man bone in my body. And I know that. It is the people that would attest to that. As you know, I'm sitting here, my voice is shaking. I'm a little emotional because you know, when there's a dollar attached, and I don't think it's malicious, but you fall into the coddling and the yes and the it's okay and denial and let's just clean it up and make it look good, and you know, you kind of fall into that.
Yeah.
And you
gotta
be mindful and stay prayed up. When you love someone that's in this business on a level on any level, but period, that is a commodity, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The artist, we gotta really be careful and protect ourselves. That if I didn't learn anything in this, because I didn't leave the business, I stopped recording.
Right.
You know, I still have been working professionally. And singing and I think it afforded me the opportunity to grow and to really look and see other people's missteps and unfortunate circumstances and learn and understand and compare with what I was learning in my own life and my own walk, the things that this time around I would definitely have and made sure I kept my nucleus is very small now. I don't play games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I love people, but my nucleus is small. You know, and I'm held accountable. My people hold me accountable.
Right.
I don't have any yes
men
around me. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just very important. And it, you know, I got the lesson. I got the lesson from all the greats. I got the lesson from the Billies on up, from Billy to Phyllis Hyman to Whitney being the most recent. My boy Gerald Levert. So many. I've lost a lot of friends in this business.
Yeah.
You know, and in my life, and so I have to learn. I would be disrespectful if I didn't learn these lessons.
Right.
They would be disrespectful.
With any tragedy, that's the biggest thing, to learn the lesson. Learn the lesson
you
know, why did I experience this? To learn from it.
Right.
We're running out of time, but I want to talk about Ladies of R&B. How's shoot been so far? What can we expect? I know that that you all said this show is not going to be like these other reality shows. This one is about motivating and encouraging people and seeing people on their grind. Tell us about the show.
Right.
Your experience so far.
It's been a very positive, and when I say it's a positive experience. We are, you know, we staying in the resolution of things. You know, life is conflict filled and drama filled all by itself. It doesn't need any help with that. But how we approach it and how we handle ourselves and allow ourselves to react, and how we process is the difference there. And and thankfully. You know, I wouldn't have signed up for this show had it not been, you know, with these women that I know a lot about the tomfoolery. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. No one is.
Right.
I think that word should be, you know, stricken from the English language. It's so dangerous. But that's another interview. But
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But you know, we come from a space of love and understanding of each other, because we have a commonality, this business, and being women in this business, being Black women in this business, the three things that we have in common that, you know, kind of separate us from even others in this business, you know, with Black women.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like a double whammy. So,
right.
And you know, we're not obscure, you know, when we're not trying to become famous.
Right.
We're just showing our God grind and being transparent. I know I can speak for myself when I say that, you know, for me, this is me sharing and continuing my healing and letting, you know, and showing other people that they're not alone. And if I don't, you know, if I don't share it, it's not going to be helpful to me or to anyone else. That's for me, and that's what that's what my walk is about. That may not be for everyone else, but for Monifa Carter,
that's what's about for you.
What has been put in my spirit is to tell my truth and walk in truth, and that is what I'm doing. Is it a great vehicle? Absolutely. Is it a great opportunity? Absolutely. And am I, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns? Absolutely. But this for me is going to be a platform for all the other things that I hold so dear and that I'm passionate about. My AIDS advocacy, my mental health advocacy. I want to be able to help make a difference, and I am already, and I know it doesn't have to be big, but I know that if you know TV doesn't hurt, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It doesn't hurt anything.
It's a great vehicle, right?
When
you know
what I'm saying? Great platform to be of use, and so you know I'm not ashamed or you know to say this is a great vehicle to tell my story, you know, aside from that, because no one is going to tell my story correctly.
Like better
but
than we can, exactly.
That's right.
Well, like, I
so here it is.
All right, and take it as it is. Well, look, I definitely want to thank you for being on tonight. I mean,
thank you
I'm very impressed with this interview. I'm very excited about it. I have to go out and tweet it. Some people go back and listen to it, but some people thought that, you know, it wasn't going to happen tonight. But I'm glad it happened. Thank you for coming. I'm proud of
you. Thank you.
How you're growing and what you're giving out, you know. So definitely thank you. Our owner of our network, she just said she's definitely inspired by you. So thank you so much. And
much
success to you on the show, the new music. We can't wait to hear new music by Monifa. So keep us posted, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I absolutely will. And hopefully maybe we could, you know, I'll talk to you again soon, you know,
absolutely.
After the show airs, and we could talk about
that.
We could
talk more. Absolutely. I would love
absolutely.
To have that more. Definitely. All right, well, thank
absolutely.
You so
you
much.
You have the
thanks.
Info. All right. God bless all the listeners. Stay walk in truth.
All right. Good night. And to
good
everyone
night.
At home, thank you for listening. Look out for Ladies of R&B coming out later this year. Have a great week, and God bless.
The air fresh me, good soul.